Shavuot is such an incredible schus always to be together. To prepare for the Heilige Shabbos Kodesh. I hope many brothers see him. He's beautiful. Any more. Prepare for Shabbos Kodesh. You know, it's mamish. Think back, just a week ago we were together having more of a masiba. It was middle of Chanukah. It's amazing how Zman works, and I have to make the most of every moment. L'maisa, before we begin, just all the chizik, all the sirus, all the Torah tonight, first of all, is being sponsored anonymously. L'fush Leima Avner Ben Yafa Shemesh. It's a relative of a very close Talmud of mine. He's been sick for a while and needs bigger fuos. If we could have him in our tefillos to daven for Avner Ben Yafa Shemesh. All the Torah, all the chizik, all the sirus should be a big schus for his refuah, b'karov, b'ez Hashem.
Amen.
We continue to learn also Lil Nishmas, Eliezer ben Yisrael, who we know is up in Shemayim, being a male tosher for your beautiful family. And b'ez Hashem, all the chizik, all the sirus, all the Torah should be a big schus for his neshama. Until we're tanting together, b'karov, t'chias ha-meisim, the gula shalim, here we
Amen.
Before we begin, I have to just also wish a very special mazel tov to Benji. You know,
what happened?
Benji's been, you know, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of members of this year. Once a member, you're always a member of this year. You're still part of this year. It's not a goodbye, Chas V'Shalom. But we know that what happens when a guy gets married is even the best of a guy is only check in every once in a while, you know. Which, but Baruch Hashem, that's your avoda. It's not, I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just the avoda of life. Other chrayas, and you have to have permission from somebody. I don't know, it's scary, I know, but that's the MS. L'maisa, you know, there's been a lot of, over the years, there's been so many members of this year, and it's a very special year, and there's a few members that are mamish koiveya, that are mamish a staple, that are mamish, you know, that we pretty much don't have shir without them here. And Benji's been one of those guys for the last couple of years. And it's been something very special. And a special kesher that we built. In a lot of ways, the kesher goes back to the days when you were in the Tiv. That's when we met, through the Chevra. But really got very close over this time, learning together, growing together. And looking forward to the Chasen on Monday night. Amir Tashem, you and Miriam, Shibol, the Baistam Bisrael. Mali Simcha, Mali Bracha. The Simcha should be a small Simcha of your lives. And just... Let's continue to grow together, Bez Hashem.
Amen.
All right, Chavra, let's learn. You know, it was going around. Maybe some of the Chavra saw this story, a very short story. I didn't even, you know, sometimes things go around. I only even read part of it. I didn't even read the whole thing. But it was talking about a little girl. And apparently, Rav Shlomo Karbach used to tell this over. And there's a little girl that on Zois Chanukah, the day of Zois Chanukah, in her family there was like some sort of Chanukah party by her grandparents. And they had food and they were celebrating Chanukah, still Chanukah, you know, that last Zois Chanukah, some like Chanukah feels over already because you're not light, you know. But there was, it's Chanukah, that day's Chanukah, this past Monday was Chanukah. And L'maisa, they're at this Chanukah party, and they're with the family and at the grandparents. And suddenly the little girl comes over to her father and starts crying and very, very sad. Says, I want to go home. I want to go home right away. Take me home. We need to go home. And the father says, what's wrong? What? We were having such a nice time with the family. What happened? He says, Zaidi told me that I can't light the Chanukah licht tonight. Zaidi told me that here we're not going to light the Chanukah licht. And I can't light the Chanukah licht tonight. And I want to light the Chanukah licht. I want to light the Chanukah menorah. She was crying. Now she couldn't light the Chanukah menorah because it was night 9. Chanukah was going to be over. We don't light the Chanukah menorah. But this young, sincere, sensitive, somewhat naive little girl was crying because she wanted to light the Chanukah licht. And I'm sure a lot of us felt that already this past Monday night. And obviously we didn't necessarily like mamish have such a strong desire, in a sense that we knew we couldn't. But it was sad. It's sad. There's an atzvah for so many nights, and so you're connected to a particular yontiv and the kedusha of that yontiv, and working on the koichos of that yontiv, and then keharafayin. It's over. And hopefully we were enlightened. Hopefully we were lifted up. Hopefully we got chizik. But still, the ma'isa. It reminded me about, I think this was, I don't know if it was last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe some of the chevra was with me. I don't even remember who was with me. But it was Zois Chanukah Thursday night. It was Zois Chanukah Thursday night. So we had shir. And I lit menorah early with the mishpacha. Oh, I don't know, whatever time it was, 5:30, 6 o'clock, I don't know, chayes nish. And we had which year, and we had tish. And by the time the last guy, we were in this dining room for a long time, as usual. And by the time the last guy left, it was probably 1:30 in the morning. It was after, it was between 1:30 and 2, I don't remember exactly. And I'm walking the chevra out, there was like three guys left. And I'm walking the chevra out, and we see on my menorah, from literally about 8 hours ago, there was one candle still lit. And where we go, and I see it's the last candle of Hanukkah, the last candle of Zeis Hanukkah. And I go over and with this chevra, and we're looking at this candle, mamish just staring at the candle, gazing at the candle, and mamish within 60 seconds it goes out. And I remember it was such a powerful moment. Like, when do you? I don't know if any of you have ever had that where mamish watched Chanukah like evaporate, you know. It was watch that final candle go out, and I started crying because it was such like a powerful moment. Still, it's such a strong moment. I still remember that moment so strongly. And then I thought it was such crazy Siyat Shemaya. Like, if we would have stayed in the dining room literally like 2 more minutes, we wouldn't have had that opportunity. Literally 2 more minutes. Happened to be pump at the moment we're leaving to walk the guys out. It's the last minute, at the last hour. And then I remember staring at that candle when it was over, staring at the smoke, and then thinking to myself, and I think I said this to the chevra, I said, you know, now we have to be on fire. Now we have to be on fire. And I was thinking about it. It came to me, you know, this week to think about that amazing koch of fire. You know, the fire of the menorah, you know where it came from in the Beis HaMikdash? Chevra, no? It's Gemara, Menachos. You know where the Gemara came from? Where the fire came from? It came from the Mizbeach. They used to bring the fire from the Mizbeach to light the menorah. And the fire of the Mizbeach was Eish Tamid Tukal Mizbeach Lo'Sichpe. The fire of the Mizbeach never was extinguished. So that means the fire of the menorah on some level should never be extinguished. That means the fire of Chanukah should never be extinguished. You know what's amazing about, if you think about fire, it's just not, you still haven't even fully developed this yet, it's just, we'll share it with the chevra. I was thinking about it earlier today. The same fire could, in a certain sense, go on forever, as long as you create new fuel for the fire, right? So imagine, for example, you have a bonfire. And that bonfire has a particular amount of wood that eventually would go out, right? Eventually it's going to go out. But if you take that fire and then, before it goes out, you light another bonfire. And let it, if you always just constantly light some sort of new entity, that same Eish could continuously go forever. Eish Tamid, Tukad. So the Chanukah Menorah might have gone out a few days ago. But hopefully it lit our Neshama on fire. And that's the same fire that's still burning bright. Something to think about. B'lmaisa, you know, the Eibishter is always giving us days to be mechazik us. And yes, we left Chanukah, but now we have to prepare for a different type of a day. And just a few days from now, Asara B'Teves. Halavai, this year we're not going to have to have Asara B'Teves. Halavai will be Zoicha for Mashiach. But if, in case we do, we have to prepare. And only through preparing and understanding, maybe we'll be Zoicha, Bez Hashem. So Asara B'Teves is very, very interesting. The nature of Asara B'Teves is different than any other fast day in the following way. Besides, everyone knows the famous Torah, Asara B'Teves. You'd even fast on Shabbos if it would potentially fall out on Shabbos. But not getting into all of that Torah right now. You know, if you go through, we know that really, there were terrible tragedies on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th of Teves. Right? What happened on the 8th of Teves was when Ptolemy, the king, had the Shivim Zakenim, the Gemara Megillah, whoever knows, right? Had the Shivim Zakenim translate the Torah, mamish the Torah Shebiksav into Greek. And that was something giving the, I don't know, the slip of the Gemara, because the Gemara in Baruch Hashem is just the opposite. It's Torah Shebalpeh, some of the godless of it can never be by the Umas Ha'olam. But translating Torah Shebiksav into Greek, which gives the ability to the Umas Ha'olam to somehow have some level of connection to Torah, and it was a terrible tragedy. It's something that was not good. On that same day, Nehemiah died. On the 9th of Teves was when Ezra died. It was also when Jesus was born and brought a lot of churban into the world until today with the Christians and how they've treated us and persecuted us. And then on the 10th is the most famous, and what we talk about most is when Bavel came and surrounded Yerushalayim. But it's so interesting if you think about it. Every Tainus has its tragedies. And in fact, we know famously the Gemara in Tainus, Shiva Zeb Thomas has five terrible tragedies, and Tisha B'Av has five terrible tragedies. But every other Tainus, they all happened on that one day. Why suddenly here is it all spread out? Because Baruch was bringing Zman of Churban, right? So this Tzkufa is going to be a Zman of Churban. That's what's in there. So why not have it all occur in one day? Why didn't he make all that we just discussed happen all on the 10th, or all on the 9th, or all on the 8th, like every other Shiva Zeb Thomas? You go through the list, we have five different tragedies that occurred on Shiva Zeb Thomas. Tisha B'Av, five, right? On Tisha B'Av, all the different tragedies of Tisha B'Av. First Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, Beitar was destroyed, right? We all know. The Luchos were broken. We all, right? Lameisa, we know. So Lameisa, why did it happen this way? Chassam Sofer has an incredible yisoid. Chassam Sofer says, we know in Parshas Kisavo, there are 98 klolos. 98 klolos in the Teichla. The klolos represent the time of curse, the time of churban, the time of destruction. There are 98 klolos in the Teichla. He says the day of Churban that we're commemorating at this tkuva, this time next week, is actually all those occurrences, everything we just discussed, all actually happened on the same day, 98 days from Rosh Hashanah. Meaning Nehemiah died, Ezra died, Bavel came and surrounded Yerushalayim, Talmai Melech had us translate the Torah, all happened 98 days after Rosh Hashanah. It all happened on the same day. But it depends if the months are Chaser or Malay, what date that would have been. So some years, 98 days after Rosh Hashanah is Ches Teves. Some years, 98 days after Rosh Hashanah is Tes Teves. And some years, it's Yud Teves. If they're both Chaser, 98 days is going to be Yud. If one's Chaser, one's Malay, it's going to be Tes. If they're both Male, it's going to be Ches. So dependent meaning, right? So dependent on the month in between, if they're Ches or Male, we're going to have 98 days. So really all happened on the same day. But what does that tell us? It tells us that Ma'amish the Toicha, which is the essence of Klala that could ever befall us, is the Yesod of everything that occurs that's negative, that we don't want. So what does that tell you and I that's very important? Specifically, we see that Asar B'Teves is deeply mekusher to the Toichacha, deeply mekusher to these curses. That tells me that you and I, if we want to understand what we're supposed to be metaking during this Zman coming up, this upcoming week, and we have to be Bamas, the Zman coming up, the upcoming week, a Yom Tainis, the Rambam tells us, is a Yom Tshuva. It's a day to look into the tsaris of the past and the tsaris of today, and realize that we have to do tshuva. We don't have Beis HaMikdash yet. We have to do tshuva. But in what area? What's the focal point of my tshuva? What am I focusing on? So seemingly, the Chassam Sofer is telling us this day is deeply connected to the Teichacha and those klolos that have befallen us and continue to happen to us. So if we analyze Parshas Kisavo and we see why the klolos occurred, b'stam of them, we know what our avodah is during these days. What does the parasha tell us after all the klalos? What does it say? Why did Toichacha happen? Why would klalos occur? Why would Churban happen to us? Never. Very famous pasuk. So if you look in Parshas Kisavo, Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Mem Zayin, there the Torah tells us, you know why all these klalos happen? You know why, therefore, if we want to Lefi the Chacham Sofer, all the clothes of Asar B'Teves, which is a fast day that we would even fast on Shabbos. The Haschola of Peronios. Tachas Asher Lo Evadetas Hashem Lekecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav Meroiv HaKol. Because we're not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Simcha. We're not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with passion. We're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're davening, we're learning, we're keeping Shabbos, we're keeping kosher, I'm wearing tzitzit, I'm putting on the tefillin, but it's not besimcha. It's not with a full heart. Alek toichacha. Churban. Sar b'teves. It's incredible chiddush, but it's a pasuk. It's a beferish pasuk. This is not some Zohar, this is not some Noam HaMelech, this is mamish a pasuk in the Torah. Telling us if I don't serve Hashem besimcha, all the toichacha comes. You know why? Because if I'm not serving Hashem besimcha, I'm missing the boat. If I realized for a moment how precious Torah is, how precious HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in my life, if I had true Amun, how could I not be serving with Simcha? I'm involved in Hanachamadim, Yizavim, Pazarim, Sukkim, and Dvash. I'm involved in the most precious thing in the world. If I'm not doing Simcha, it means I'm missing the boat and what it's all about. So the most beautiful idea I was learning today with Chavrusama and Talmudama and Yaakov Yitzchak Kuberfeld, we're learning in Olam Amidos, in Olam HaGvura. And Rav Kestenbaum brought down from Rav Malkiel, Shalita, Akil Kotler, Rashiv of the Mismedish Kavo in Lakewood. He says the words, right? He was darshaning and Parshat Nitzav, the words that we're all so familiar with. We should have been familiar with it before, but here Eitan Katz turned it into a song that we've sang one too many times. So Lemaisa, right? So it's a beautiful song. Mamish, a beautiful song, but you get what I'm saying. Lemaisa, Kikar Velecha Davar Meod, right? Kikar Velecha, now you understand, right? Kikar Velecha Davar Meod. Kikar v'lecha davar meod means, and it's a machlokas genre, but with the day that we're talking about Torah, Torah is kar v'lecha davar meod. What most understand that to mean it's very easy. It's very easy. L'maisa, is Torah easy? Is it easy to master Torah? Is it easy to have a keser shel Torah? It's mamish, we need such tremendous amelus. It takes all the effort in the world, all the emotional effort, all the effort of my mind, all the effort of everything. It's mamish, very, very, it's not easy. What's kikar v'lecha davar meod? Really? Let's be real. It's the most difficult thing we do. We could go through you guys are in college. Most of the chavriyas in college. All your classes, nothing compares to sitting and learning a Gemara. They're all a joke compared to learning a Gemara. Every one of them. Think about it, because most of you don't even go to class. You don't even pay attention. And before a final, you put in a few minutes and fine. Imagine doing that with 10 block Gemara. Forget about it. It's mamish the chachma of it's chachma lukis. So it's karve lecha davar meod. What does that mean? So he answered with a mashal, incredible mashal. Beautiful mashal. He says, imagine somebody comes to you and says, I have a dollar for you. Okay, I have a dollar. That's very nice. No, but you have to go 15 minutes away to go get it. Are you going to go get it? For a dollar, 15 minutes? Do the math. That's $4 an hour. That's really not a good rate, right? That's not a good pay. Nobody's taking your salary $4 an hour. I'll be meichel on my dollar for 15 minutes. Right? It just doesn't work. But what if someone says to you, if you go and walk now 3 hours, there's $1 million waiting for you. You'll jump to do it, right? In a second. So dependent on how chashuv the prize is how we feel about the distance. The 15 minutes for a dollar is the longest distance in the world. It mamish feels like an eternity. That's ridiculous. The 3 hours for a million, it's like, it's as close as could be. Now, it's still going to be much, the walk of 3 hours is much more difficult to walk than 15 minutes, but it feels much closer and much more attainable because the prize is that much more special. So too, Torah is nechamadim, yizav, pazram, zugin, tvash. Torah is the most chashuv thing in the world. It's worth everything for me to go do it. So it's karev elecha davar meod. It's lo bashamayimi, it's lo mevriyam. Lo bashamayimi means not unattainable, it's attainable. Yes, it takes a lot of effort. But it's karov, of course. Because I understand how chashuv it is, I understand how special it is. And if I understand all that, I'm besimcha doing it. I'm so excited to. I'm excited to wake up in the morning and go to daven with a minyan. Not it's difficult and hard. Because I know how precious my tefillos are. And I'm besimcha. And if I'm not besimcha and I do it begrudgingly, it's still a mitzvah, but I'm missing the boat. But here's the kuntzchevra. Why would that happen? Why would I not have proper simcha if it's so precious, so special? So I didn't focus on the last two words. Listen to the pasuk. Tachas yasher lovad zvam lekecha besimcha v'tuv levav. Because you're not serving Hashem b'simcha v'tuv levav with a good heart. Why? Meirov hakol. You know what meirov hakol means? Rashi says, ba'od shahay l'chol kol tov. Meaning what? Because you have everything else good in your life. Meaning what? Your focal point, not you, lo aleinu, a person's focal point is on their gashmias. A focal point is on their materialism, on their money, on their nice car, on their nice clothing, on their nice house, on all those other achievements. That's my focus. That's where I find my pleasure. I find my pleasure, ichveis nish, if the Jets or Giants make the playoffs. I find my pleasure if the Rangers are playing well. I find nothing wrong with that if that's tuffel shebe tuffel. But that's my ikker. That's my ikker. My ikker is my excitement in all the gashmias of the world. That's where I put my focal point. And if my focal point is merov hakol, so I can't taste the beauty of the Torah anymore. I can't taste the beauty of mitzvahs anymore. And then all the kolos come my way to remind me that I have to refocus my life. That's what the Torah is telling me. You know, it's not that there's anything. Torah mitzvah is the most chashuv thing in the world, but my taste buds are off. It's like the mashal. I've said this many times, chevra. I'm sure some of the chevra have heard this from me, but it's worth repeating. It's an important mashal. It brings home the point in a special way. You know, I love orange juice, but specifically only a Tropicana, obviously, right? I don't know why they make any other type of orange juice. Like none of the other orange juices are anything compared to Tropicana. They try. But like they're not even a close second, you know what I mean? Like it's not even shkoyach. If there's nothing else to have, you might drink it just because there's nothing else to drink. But like, let's be real. There's no one in the world that ever like chose another orange juice over Tropicana. Now how that works, I have no idea because they just say 100% purely squeezed orange juice. So like I don't know why no one else could get it right. Like just squeezed oranges. What do? They squeeze them different? I don't know. I'm not sure how it works. But it doesn't matter. They do it right. I mamish these days for years. True story. I told my wife when we got married for years, I wanted a fridge in our room. Why? Because like in the middle of the night, if I wake up and I'm thirsty and I want like, so what? I got to go downstairs. So I wanted my wife, I don't know, she never was excited about having a fridge in the world. She thought it was like, maybe like felt like white trash or something. I don't know what it was. I'm not sure. She like didn't like the whole idea of like our fridge. And I didn't mean like a big fridge, like a little guy, you know? So I always wanted, you know, like camp style, you know? You know, yeah, even something like that, whatever it might be. I don't know. She never was excited about it. And then a few years ago, on my birthday, she found this very like nice fridge. It's like classy, like antique-y looking. I don't know. She's like, oh, it's fun suddenly. So I my birthday present was a fridge. But mainly filled with Tropicana. Oh. Not the little ones like from the bagel store, I don't know what, you know, but like the little plastic ones, whatever, you know, the little
plastic orange top.
Yeah, with orange top. Really, so now it's filled, it's only filled with often with that. Okay, sometimes it's water also, my little seltzer, but like every now I could, in the middle of the night, I wake up, you can have some Tropicana. It's gewalt. Is there a bigger pleasure in the world, in the middle of the night when you're thirsty, have a little Tropicana? It's mamish incredible. Incredible. Honest. But listen to this, Chever. What happens if you brush your teeth? And then right after you brush your teeth, if you're thirsty, and you take a little Tropicana, it's mamish disgusting. It's right? It's disgusting. Now, let me ask you something. Is there anything inherently wrong with Tropicana? Is that Tropicana sour? Is that Tropicana off? No, not at all. If someone else drank that Tropicana, it would be delicious. You've coated your mouth with toothpaste, and therefore, somehow that leaves a remnant even after you wash out your mouth. And for a while, the Tropicana is being filtered through the taste buds that are mixed with toothpaste, which gives it a bad taste, gives it an awful taste. There's nothing wrong with Tropicana. Your taste buds are off. When we're going to indulge in gashmis, when a person indulges in taivas, when a person's focal point is clothing and cars and money and homes and looking at women, whatever it might be, and that's where your pleasure points are. Not your menuchas and nefesh that you have because we all need some outlet. Not your tuffel. Not that you dress nicely because it's important to dress like a mensch. Not that you watch sports so I can get a little enjoyment and chill, but that's your like focal point. That's where all your mainly your pleasure comes from. I happen to also learn, because I know I'm supposed to. I happen to also daven. But my pleasure is from my success in money, my success in my materialism, my sports, whatever else, all that stuff. May roivakol. So then I've coated my mouth with all of that. I can't taste the beauty in Torah. I can't taste the beauty in mitzvahs, the beauty in tefillah. My taste buds are off. Meirav hakol. And that's the toichacha. Therefore, if the Chacham Sofer is telling me that the klolos of the toichacha or it leads to asar b'teves in dates, clearly that's what my focal point should be. And maybe it's time to do introspection, look in the mirror. Where's my ikkar? Where's my tuffel? How much of my focus is my gashmis, is my materialism? Are my taivas? You know, Zalman Sarotsky, he says something very, I could say it with this chavr, this is not a Torah to share with everybody because it's a little harif to the point, but you have to understand the level of a tzaddik, right? Everybody knows the famous question. This parasha, what a parasha, chavr. Aren't you excited just to be in shul and listen to the leading? I don't know how many of you have been Mavra Sedra already, but like, even though we all know what's going to happen, it's like, oh, it's mamish, so beautiful. Some of the most emotional points in all of Torah, right? Ani Yosef, Oda Vechai. The reunion of Yaakov and Yosef after 22 years. Yosef and Binyamin crying on each other's shoulders. We'll talk about that later today. Incredible moments. And one of the most powerful discussions in the parasha is that moment when Yaakov and Yosef meet up for the first time. And we all know famously that the pasuk tells us Yosef's embracing his father, crying on his shoulder. And we don't find in the psukim Yaakov saying, doing that at all. So what does the Chazal teach us? And it's a famous Rashi. What do we know? Av Yaakov lo nafal al tzavar Yosef. What's it? This is found in Perek Memvav, Pasuk Chavtes. Yaakov wasn't falling on the neck of Yosef. Lo nishaku, he didn't kiss him. Why? Amar Rabbeinu Shoyakore Shema. He was saying Kriya Shema at that moment. Famous question everybody asks. I'm sure you all have learned numerous answers. If you never learned the Torah of the Zalman Sarotsky, remind me later tonight. I have to share it with you. But I'm going to share you a different Torah of the Zalman Sarotsky now. You know what? How can we not? You want to hear? It's so late. It doesn't matter how late we go, right? You got to hear this. Chaver never heard. Pause for a moment. Listen to this Torah. No, because how can you not? How can you not share it? It's one of the most beautiful Torahs I've ever learned in my life. And you did Nafshi, Rav Yared, Lisha Ginsburg showed me the Meshloach. Says a very similar idea as well. I never saw it till this year. The Ishbitzer in the Yortzeit Ishbitzer Shabbos Kodesh, right? So Bez Hashem to share in his name as well on some level. But I saw first from Zalman Sarotsky in his Naim L'Torah. You got to see his inside. But listen to this. Again, to answer that question, why was Yaakov Avinu saying Kriya Shema at this very moment? There's a Gemara in Brachos, Tafheim and Aleph. And the Gemara says, La'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov v'yetzer hara. If you just came here forget about everything we're learning then, just for this Torah, I'm telling you, it was kedai. La'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov v'yetzer hara. Our whole life is to yetzer tov should defeat the yetzer hara. Im nitchu mutov, if we're matzliach, right? Im lav, what's it say? Yasuk b'torah. Yasuk b'torah, right? Learn Torah. Im nitchu mutov, it quotes psukim there also for each of these levels, but I'm skipping the psukim. If you're matzliach through the Torah to defeat the Yetzara, good. Im lav, yikra kriyashma. Im nitchu mutov, through the Shema, Shema Yisrael, Shem el kinesh, Shem echov, after you, that will give you the chizik to defeat Yetzara. If nitchu mutov, you're matzliach, great. Im lav, Yaskele, beautiful, Chassan remembers everywhere. Yaskele Amisa. Mention your day of death. It will put you in place to make the most of that day, not to give it into Yetzaru. Who knows how much longer I have to be in this world? Listen to how Torah Beksav and Torah Balpeh comes together in one. Guys, you'll see this inside after just open up a Chumash and see. Yaakov Avinu, his whole life is to defeat his Yetzaru. He's traveling down to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was the hub of Tuma, the hub of Taiva. Mitzrayim was the epicenter of like Alaveras Tachas Hashemesh. He's so sensitive. He starts to feel the Tuma and the Taiva. He says, my Yetzirah is getting stronger. I got to do something about it. On the journey down, what does he do? Ves Yehuda Sholach Chafanav. He sends Yehuda. To do what? To set up Beti Midrashos. He was Oisik B'Torah. He gets to the border. That's where Yosef comes to meet him. Yosef is Mishnah L'Mel. He can't leave the country. He meets his father at the border. At the border, the Yetzirah gets even stronger. The Taiva is stronger. The feeling of the Tuma and the Zima of the Mitzrayim is stronger. What does he have to do at that? Of course he wants to hug and kiss his son, and he will in a moment. But what's his biggest avod in life? The beating of the Yetzer Hara. the Torah is no longer working. What do I have to do? Zakriya Shema. At that very moment, he said Shema. By the way, that's the very next pasuk. These are three pasukim in a row. That's Yudishal Chafanov, pasuk Chavches, Perak Mem Vav. Pasuk Chavtes is when he says Shema. What's the very next pasuk is when he entered. Yosef walks him into Mitzrayim. He gets into Mitzrayim. The Taif is even stronger. Right? The Yetzer is stronger. He already was always Yikba Torah. He already said Kriya Shema. What's next? Very next pasuk. By Yoyim Yisrael Yosef. Yaakov said to Yosef, Amusa Apam Acharei Siyat Menachik Yod Chachai. Now that I've seen you're still alive, I can die in peace. He's Yaskir Liyim Misa. You can't make it up. Three pasukim in a row. Mamish the Gemara coming alive. Mamish incredible. Mamish incredible. So much to say on that, but let's move back to what we were talking about. Rav Zalman starts going to have a second answer. So that explains why you're saying Shema at that moment. But he has another answer. And it works along the same lines, but he goes into it a little bit deeper. And a little bit differently, what the Yetzer Hara and what the Taiva was. Yaakov Avinu, he says his whole life was to defeat his Yetzer Hara and not focus on Gashmias, not focus on Rov HaKol, not focus on Taiva. And he was Matzliach his whole life. Suddenly, he has a taiva, a mutter taiva, to hug his son, to kiss his son. Is there anything wrong with that? Of course not. Should he do that? Of course. But Yaakov and his level, and I can only share this with people that are Baal Yishmael ones, Yaakov and his level is almost tzaddik yisod olam. He says he worked even on his mutter taivas. He worked on even having temptation and tanug that's mutter. And he said to himself at this moment, I have such a taiva to hug my son and kiss myself. Of course I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a normal father. But first I have to remember it's all Hashem. First I have to remember that Hashem, and I have to be Moser Nefesh, not to even give in right away to this. And I want to say that Hashem is my biggest love in the world. And Hashem is everything to me. So at that moment, as Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nefeshecha b'chol midecha. That's who I love more than anyone else in this world. His mechazik, even his taiva shel heter, his pleasure that was mutter. Imagine how much more so we have to be mechazik our taivas that are not mutter, or our indulgement, overindulgement when it comes to gashmias, and focus that we think that's where our pleasure comes from. Lo aleinu. I'm sure I've shared this before, but I remember reading how Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zeches Tzadik Lishvracha, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he came to America, he was somewhere there, he was eating somewhere, and they offered him ice cream, and he wouldn't eat the ice cream, and they said it was kosher, it was called Yisrael, you know, everything you could imagine, Chassidish Hechsher, I don't know, Chassidish, whatever, you know, ice cream, whatever. He says, no, I trust the kashrus, I trust his kosher. Apparently, he said they had no kosher ice cream in Europe. He never had ice cream before. He said, I'm probably going to enjoy it. I'm going to really enjoy it. I don't want to create a new taiva for myself. So I don't want to even taste it. If I don't taste it, I don't know what it is. So I don't have a taiva for it. I don't want even a mutter taiva. I don't want to create a new taiva for myself. Imagine. This is a tzaddik. Staying away, may Rov HaKol. Staying away from other pleasures, so my pleasure could be, and I could be in tune and sensitized to feel the pleasure of Torah and the pleasure of mitzvahs. To understand that what life is about, where our focal point is, chevra. But there's another avodah. So that's avodah number one. Tachas shavadikas shem b'simcha b'tuv lev merayv hakol. That if the Chassam Tov is teaching us that Hasar B'Teves is stemming from the Toichacha. So we have to work on this. We have to do introspection. That's what a Tainus is all about. What is a Tainus? A Tainus is self-control from Gashmias. To stay away from physical pleasure. To indulge in spiritual pleasure. To be Sameach B'Chelko. It's like the famous story, right? There was a Yid who wanted to learn how to be Sameach B'Chelko and not overindulge in materialism. So he went to Neim Eli Melech. The Rebbe Reb Melech, he said, Rebbe, teach me how to be B'Sameach B'Chelko. He says, I'll tell you something. The one you need to learn from is the one who I think is the gadol in this area. It's my brother, Reb Zusha. Go to Reb Zusha. And it was an hour's journey. And he gets to Reb Zusha. Reb Zusha was known. He lived this crazy, impoverished lifestyle. mamish, like his table had three legs, and he was like with straw and nothing garnished. He knocks on the door, and Rav Zusha opens the door, and he says, "You know, what are you doing here? Who are you?" He says, "I was by your brother. You were by my brother. The Naim HaMelech, how's he look? What a schus! Yeah, and your brother sent me to you. Why would my brother send you to me? I'm nothing. What? Well, he told me that I could learn from you how to be mesameach b'chalacha." And Rav Zusha looks at the man, and he looks around his house. He says to this man, he says, "You know, my brother's talking right. I'm so mesameach b'chalacha. I'm so happy with what I have. Because I have everything in the world. Hashem's given me so much. I'm so lucky. It's easy for me. I'm not trying to teach someone to be mesameach b'chalacha." And this man's looking around, and the Ramesh Rav Zusha has nothing. And he got the point. He got the point. And we have to think to ourselves, where's our focus? Where's our focus? Sometimes lo aleinu and roiv hakol. And because of that, I'm not besimcha in the way that I should be in Torah and mitzvos and what it could do for me. But I think there's something else to think about and focus on when it comes to a tainus of avelus, a tainus that leads to churban beis hamikdash. Because we all know, and I think there's talos zebizah, which we'll get to in a moment. We all know the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tes. Everybody here knows that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And that's clearly what we're suffering from until today, if we haven't rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash. So clearly it's a pagam in Sinas Chinam. So Babichur Rebbe Zeichas Arkash Vrachel taught us you have to live with the Parsha. So if we have a Sar Batavius in the upcoming week, the Chizuk to learn how to be Metakin is going to be from the Parsha. So we mentioned this before. The moment of Yosef and Binyamin. Yosef and Binyamin meeting up for the first time after all these years, the two brothers of Rachel Imenu. And here they're both crying. It's not like Yaakov, they're both crying. What's the pasuk tell us? Vayipol al tzavare Binyamin achiv vayevk u'Binyamin bacha al tzavarov. The Yosef falls on the shoulder of Binyamin and cries, and Binyamin falls on Yosef's shoulder and cries. They're both crying on each other's shoulders. They're both crying on each other's shoulders. What does Rashi tell us? Tells us something mechudishtik that's hard to understand. Rashi tells us at this moment, why were they crying? Pashtun, they were quoting Pashtun. Rashi's Pashtun, right? They're crying emotionally because they haven't seen each other in all these years. That's why. No. Yosef's crying. Al shnei mikdasho shati and lios bechelko shabin yamim sofili charev. Yosef had some sort of nevuah, and he's crying over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash that was in the chelek of Binyamin. And Binyamin is crying, Al Mishkan Shiloh, Sha'asid Liyos Bechelko, Sha'Yosef is over Lecharev. And the Mishkan of Shiloh that will be in the chelek of Yosef will be destroyed. Really? What's going on here? So first of all, we have to just share. The Zohar tells us that any time the sin of Chinam in the world, it's Bekusher. It's an achinim that the brothers had for Yosef. That was the beginning of sinas chinim in Klal Yisrael. And all sinas chinim is rooted in that on some level. And through this we could understand, we could open up our eyes, and I saw a tremendous ksav sofer quoted by Rabbi Amori the Shvil Pinchas to understand why it was at this moment Yosef and Binyamin are crying over Churban Beis HaMikdash, Churban Mishkan. Well, what's going on? Really? At this moment? This moment in time, this emotional moment, was caused from the sin of Chinam of the brothers. Meaning, why do you have this reunion? Because all these years they were separated because of the sin of Chinam that the brothers had for Yosef Tzadik. Yosef and Binyamin, the Ksav Sofer explains, understood that. You know what else they understood? That they're the two brothers that didn't have sinah for each other. They're the only two that withstood that and stood away from that. And they understood, therefore, that's why they're going to be ones that are Zoyche, that the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan are in their Chelek. Because they didn't have this Sinas Chinam. They weren't involved. But when they were seeing this all in Ruach HaKodesh, they also understood, when they learned and they understood the sin of their brothers, that sin is going to be part of Klal Yisrael. Even though it's going to be in their Chelek, they weren't involved, there's going to be Sinas Chinam more. And there's going to be Churban. And that's why they saw all of this at this moment. But you know what they did? Listen closely. What was amazing that I didn't point out yet? They both were crying on each other's shoulders, but they were both crying about each other's churban. Yosef was crying that the Beis HaMikdash, the Tubat HaMikdash, Binyamin's chelek would be destroyed. Binyamin was crying about Yosef's chelek in the Mishkan. Why did they just cry over their own churban? At that moment when they already were seeing this all in Ruach HaKodesh, of the destruction of our holiest of places because of Sinas Chinam, linked to the Sinas Chinam that led to this moment, they also were putting into the world the Takana, the Refuah. And what were they doing? Therefore, they were caring about each other. They weren't even looking into their own lives. At that very moment, Yosef is putting Binyamin before himself. And Binyamin's putting Yosef before himself. And they're caring and empathizing with each other. And trying to teach us how to have the proper care, proper giving, the proper way to be metaking and bring gula to the world. You know, and I actually feel the two yesodos we spoke about tonight are talo zebzeh. When a person focuses on gashmias and taiva, meroi vakol, you become self-centered and selfish, and it's all about your pleasure. When a person puts ruchnias above else, I understand there's more than my own physical pleasure. And then I'm able to also put others above myself and give to others and care for others. They're taloy zebzeh. And this is what brings geula to the world. This is when the Eibishter says, I want to be with you. You want to be with each other, I want to be with you. That's what the Eibishter says. When you have a hatrech kamocha, when you have love for each other, ani Hashem, I'm here together with you. I want to be here with you. Otherwise, it's churban. And maybe part of what leads to the proper hatrech kamocha is starting to work on not focusing on rov hakol, not focusing on my own pleasure, my own physical pleasure. It's a story, Halev, we've shared this before, but the story of little Naftali. You know, little Naftali was 3 years old. And Naftali is learning by his Melamed. He's learning Kriya. And Melamed is teaching him different rules. And he tells him one of the rules is what? That if you see two yuds, it's Shem Hashem. But also, never say Shem Hashem in vain. If you see two yuds, you can say Hashem's name. But you should never say Shem, if you don't see it, two yuds, don't just say Hashem's name. Lo tisa Shem HaKachal Shav. The next day, the Melamed meets with Naftali. And Naftali reads the pasuk, let's say, Vayidaber, Hashem, El Moshe, Lamer, and he blurts out Hashem. And the Melamed says to Naftali, Naftali, I thought we learned you can't just say Hashem's name. So Naftali says to his Melamed, what do you mean? I saw the two little yuds. Why, at the end of the pasuk, two little dots to connote the end of the pasuk. And the little dots look like a little yud. So his Rebbe told him, let me teach you something, Naftali. I understand where you're coming from. But a yud, you have to think of like a yid. When you have two yidin standing next to each other, two yuds next to each other, then Hashem says, I want to be with you. But when you have one yid on top of another yid, like the end of the pasuk, one dot on top, one yud on top of a yud, Hashem's never present. Hashem never wants to be with those. So you know that's not Hashem's name. The yidin have to be next to each other. Then Naftali became Reb Naftali Rapshitzer. The Kehilah Gavad Yisrael, he learns from his Rebbe what it is to care for others. So chever, you know, Halavai Bez Hashem, and the schus of all the Torah, and the schus of our learning, we shouldn't have a fast day this week. We have Baruch Hashem, we have big simchas coming up Monday night. It should just be a week only. And that simcha should continue and carry us with us. You I don't know, you sent out invitations that this wedding's going to be in Crest Hollow somewhere. It's going to be in Yerushalayim. I don't know what you're thinking. Where in Yerushalayim, I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. But it's going to be in Yerushalayim. Mirat Hashem. The roof of the Tiv will be the chuppah for sure, Vada. We'll see what else. We'll figure it out. But Lameisa, Chever, hopefully, the avodah to bring gula is our avodah. And the avodah, first and foremost, getting rid of roiv hakol. Realizing that I want to serve Hashem b'simcha v'tuv levav, so I can't overindulge in the gashmis of the world. And then I focus not just on my own pleasures, but on ruchnis. And focus on others, giving to others, caring for others, being there for others. And we'll be zeichet gmul shleimah with Mashiach Zakeinu b'mehera b'yameinu.
Amen.